Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to my Father's Palace. destiny, coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and Coffee Talk with Patricia. Patricia, are you there?
Good morning, everyone. How is everyone this morning? Thank you, Maria, for... Go ahead.
We are doing great, and I'm so, so happy. First, I want to say thank you so much, Patricia, for having and choosing to have your show here on Soul Sister Enterprise. We are here to elevate and empower women, and you are one of them, so take it away.
Thank you, Maria. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone is having a fabulous day today, which is one of my words that I love to use is fabulous, because you could be having a bad day, a challenging day, a difficult day. And when you think of fabulous, what does it really mean? And fabulous to me could be in the moment that you're in. You can turn any moment around to make it a fabulous moment, a moment to have faith and to have hope and encouragement. And, you know, that is what I share every day. I have my days, good days, bad days, happy days, but they're all moments. And each moment will pass. We will get a new moment. So those moments when you feel like, gosh, I just really can't get out of bed today. I don't want to get out of bed. Somehow you can think of fabulous, and somehow you can think of just getting that one leg off that bed and being able to take that one step to be able to have a fabulous day. And fabulous doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean it's going to be all laughter or joy. It just means that you can be in that moment, that day, that time. And that is what fabulous is for me. And so I was thinking recently, well, gosh, what will I talk about today? And then I was thinking, well, yesterday, if you're on Facebook, I posted on Facebook how exciting it is to know that there's only 5 months left until Christmas. And if you celebrate Christmas, for me personally, it is my favorite time of the year. Although I do love Thanksgiving, because I really love to have my favorite meal, which is Thanksgiving dinner. But I have figured out that I can also have that any time during the year. I can go and get turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and cranberries any time of the year. But Christmas, we feel that Santa Claus only comes once a year. And for me, Santa Claus represents so much. Again, whatever your faith is, I know many people do not celebrate Christmas. Many people don't have that faith and that belief, and that's okay. I'm totally okay with that. But for me personally, what Santa Claus and what Christmas represents to me, and it brings me back to some good moments, some challenging moments, difficult moments throughout my life. And I think about just the Christmas tree and the Christmas lights and that joy and that peace that comes with the holiday season. And that to me just makes me a little bit giddy. And I know I have many people in my life that I'm not alone. There are many friends that I'm surrounded with that it's quite interesting to see how they light up. You bring a smile to their face when you talk about Christmas and you talk about joy and peace and love. And really, what is that season about? I think most of us have lost what really is Christmas, what really is the holiday season. I think it's really become about the gift. It's become about the material item. And for me personally, it's never been and it never will be about what comes in a box with wrapping paper or with a bow. It's about family. It's about faith. It's about God and the Lord. It's about us coming together, united. And having those moments, those fabulous times during the holiday season of sharing with one another what the season is about and taking the moment away from career or busy times and just having that moment of peace and love and joy. And so I'm so, so very excited because I'm 5 months. I mean, really, 5 months till Christmas. Who would ever imagine? And I used to remember when my grandmother used to say, you know, as you get older, time starts going by faster. And boy, I should have listened to her because now that we're getting older, the time is going by quicker. But I'm definitely looking forward to Christmas. So if you guys follow me on Facebook, you'll see that I'll be posting pictures of me and Santa Claus and me with the Christmas tree. And I hope that you guys will share things and I'll share recipes and other fun and exciting things that, you know, is going on for the holidays. So be prepared. The fun and the festivities have begun. And, you know, that brings me to another thing is, you know, when I talk about my grandmother, my Nani is what we call her, and she's passed on, but I really think about in life, how do we honor our loved ones, our parents, our grandparents when they do pass on? Do we continue the traditions, whether it be family get-togethers, whether it be recipes? Do we write down things that we remember that we can then share with our children or grandchildren? Or do we kind of stop and let that go once they pass on? I would hope that many of us would continue on with those traditions and that we would honor and respect our elders as well as, you know, our grandparents, our parents, family, friends that pass on. And, you know, recognize that because those are memories that should be treasured forever. And, you know, you think, what's the difference between an old soul and a young soul? You know, we're talking here today and we're representing many different subjects and many different topics because really, Coffee Talk with Patricia, that's what it's about. It's about me grabbing my cup of coffee in the morning, in the afternoon, or frankly, to be honest, in the evening, and before I go to bed, I love to have my coffee. And I think, again, we talked last week about that being an addiction. When you know you have an addiction is when you can have coffee and actually go to sleep peacefully in the night. But really, the old soul and the young soul, is there really a difference? Has times changed so much that we have forgotten what the old soul represents and means? I don't know. I think about that throughout my day, and I think, you know, youngins, elders, as we used to represent in Illinois, we always used to say, you know, us youngins look up to our elders. We respect them. And that's really, the elder is the old soul. But does that really exist anymore? Does the old soul exist? And as I grab my coffee and I sit down and I'm doing my work and I'm thinking about my past and my present and my future, I think, I do, and I honestly, I think about this every day, about the old soul, because I do feel part of who I am. I'm a young soul, and I know that. I'm young at heart, but I also really feel as if I have an old soul, because I look at our youngins today, and the difference, there is such a difference in behaviors and actions and how people are today compared to what we were when we were children. And I really hope that we can get back to that. I hope that we can empower and we can engage and we can take time with our children and our grandchildren and our youth of today, because I think we're all broken in a sense. You know, we love our hearts and our souls, whether you're an old soul or a young soul, whether you're an youngin or an elder. I think that we need to, as elders, we need to come together with our youngin, and we need to spend some quality time with them. We need to embrace them. We need to share what we grew up with. We need to share the difference of today, society, times, and we need to care and embrace our youth and our youngins, because I see such devastation and such a difference in society. And yes, we have technology today, and yes, we have so many more opportunities today, but really, has it all become so fast-paced that we don't take time? I talk to so many of my friends and so many of my acquaintances and people that I work with, and I think to myself, how is it possible that families, they go so fast? There's no quality time. And I do know that a lot of people still do make that time, but even when you make time for your family or yourself, people kind of question or judge that as if you were doing something wrong in today's time, which is almost sad to me, because what happened to the day when you grabbed a Monopoly game, a board game, and you sat down with your family and played it? And I'm sure there's still a lot of families out there that do that. But I hear so many that just, or look at me when I say, when's the last time you played Monopoly? And I get that blank look on their face like, Monopoly? We don't play Monopoly. You know, or just any kind of a game or puzzles. When's the last time you took time to sit down with yourself to do a puzzle? Or with your family to sit down and say, who has the next piece? Who wants to put it in? Because during those times, family time, friend time, you get to learn and you get to know more about one another. You know, we travel. Everyone flies. They get in an airplane and they go. Of course, I did grow up in Illinois, so maybe this is unique to some people, but we used to get in the car and we would, of course, we never wore seatbelts back then either, and we would, you know, crawl in the back window and our dad would slam on the brakes and we'd fly out that, you know, back on the seat and we'd giggle and we'd laugh and that was fun. Of course, we never got hurt. It was a different experience, different time. But it's really interesting because we would count all the red cars or all the white cars. We would count how many cows that we passed or horses when we went on a vacation or a trip or even to the market or the store. And we would sing songs in the car. And, you know, I don't hear that too much anymore. So is that part of the change? Is that part of being a difference between an old soul and a young soul, being a difference of a youngin' or an elder? It just kind of, you know, I wanted to talk about that today because I wanted to leave that thought process with you all to stop and think, really, what's the difference between an old soul and a young soul? Do you know it? Do you recognize it? And do you respect and honor your elders? And you could be young, you could be mid-age, you could be older, and you could still have elders in your life, and you could still have youngins that are around you that you could make an impact to. And some of that would be to ask you to find your passion and your purpose in life. I personally believe that we all have gifts. We all have talents. And sometimes it takes trauma or tragedy to find what they are. I think some people grow their entire life without even knowing what their purpose, what their passion, what their special gifts are. But I think if you hone into it, if you take time with yourself and you honor your space and you respect yourself, take the time to really learn, who are you? We talked about this last week about who is Patricia. And as much as I'm trying to do for my community, I still am learning about who Patricia is. Who am I? What do I represent? What do I want in my present, in my future? So I ask for you guys to all ask yourself, who are you? Do you know who you are? Is there a difference between who you personally are, what your faith and belief is, what is your career? And we must all know that our career is not who we are. We are different than what our career is. We are different than what our family, what our friends are and who they represent. We don't have to model after anyone else. Again, my faith and belief is with faith there is hope. And I believe God has blessed us with all of us, with a gift and a talent and a purpose. And I know that I am challenged every day with that. That sometimes I think about waving the white flag or, you know, I recently said, you know, I think I'm going to just get another career and I'm going to go to McDonald's and I'm going to get a job and I'm going to start asking people, excuse me, ma'am or sir, would you like fries and a chocolate shake with that Big Mac? And, you know, I kind of made it humorous in a sense, because I do also feel that no matter what career you have, whether it's working outside, whether you're a construction worker, whether you're giving back to your community in a nonprofit, whether you're a CEO or an executive to a company, you have that talent. You have that gift of being successful in your career. Take the time to make your career, whatever it may be, doesn't matter if you make minimum wage or you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. There is no comparison. One person is not better than another. But find in your life, in your career, what makes you happy? What makes your day fabulous? What makes you smile and want to get up every day to go to work and to live that career? But to also, again, separate the fact that your career is not always your entire life, that you do have family, and it's okay to take away time to enjoy your family, to laugh and to giggle and to have fun and to go places and do things. And the other side of things is to make time for yourself without guilt, without shame, without blame. Again, I do think society, sometimes when you take time for yourself, they question it or they doubt it. And I say take the time to learn who you are in your career, who you are in your family, who you are with your friendships, acquaintances. There's a difference between your friendships and your acquaintances, and that's okay also. But really, who are you? What is your passion? What is your purpose in life? And what are your God-given gifts? Because we all have them. And I'm learning about mine, and I ask for you to join me and find out about who you are. You know, what do you enjoy in life? And I'm really taking that time now to really say, I have my career, and I enjoy them, and I love them. I have my community above self, and I truly believe that we can all find something to give back into our communities, because there is no greater high or no greater thing in your heart and your soul when you can give back and you can help another person or your community. And that could be donating your time to go help at the animal shelter. It could be your time donating services that you have in your job and your career that you could give in-kind services and donations. It could be your monetary donations and support to the community. Maybe you don't have as much time, but you want to give. And it could also just be going, and it could be volunteering at the children's hospital. Whatever your God-given talents in the community is, find it, because there is such greatness in giving back to your community. But again, finally, we can give to our career, we can give to our community, we can give to our family, our friends, our acquaintances. But is it really time to also give to ourselves, to nurture ourselves? And that's what I'm working on for me. And I plan on grabbing my coffee every day, and I plan on starting with 5 minutes. And it could be 5 minutes of just deep breathing. It could be 5 minutes of listening to a song that bring back memories from my past. It could be an hour on the treadmill exercising and relieving a lot of stress. It could be going to dinner with friends or family and enjoying that time, going to a ball game, seeing a great movie, something that is going to be away from career and community, and just time also with Patricia. I'm a really great person. I love to read. And I do have a couple books. If you guys are out there and you're listening and you want to be able to find out some of the great books that I love to read, and this is also taking time for myself. So I hope that you'll find some books and some music that you can share with me also that can be a helpful tool to listen to or to read. And some of the couple books that I wanted to share with you today was one by Gavin D. Becker. It is one of my favorite books, and that's The Gift of Fear. And The Gift of Fear has been very impactful and very empowerful in my life, and I do recommend everyone read it and acknowledge it. And I'm going to actually read it again. I'm going to take time this weekend and spend with myself And I'm going to read that book, and I'm also going to read again, which is kind of interesting because I have read this book probably a couple dozen times, and it hasn't still sunken in, so I'm going to read it again, and that's Don Miguel, The Four Agreements. I don't know if any of you have read it or spent time with it, but it is definitely one of my favorite books, and I hope that you all will take the time to read that as well. And you can go, you know, on Amazon, you can go to the bookstore and get it, whatever you want, however you want to go and get it. But it is definitely an amazing book. And, you know, take time. That's part of taking time with yourself is reading, writing. You could journal, you could write. Again, whether it's exercise, whether it's just going to the beach. Everybody has different things that they enjoy. You know, I grew up in Illinois. And it's interesting because now that I'm going to take time for myself, because I think when I do take time for myself, it will empower me even more in my career. It will make me even better in my community. And I stress to all of you the same thing. When you take time for yourself and you find out who you are, you embrace that. That empowers you to become more, to do more. It's interesting because you think there's only so many minutes in the day, but when you take the time for yourself, it's interesting how God rewards that in a sense. It's interesting how it actually feels as if you have more time in your day. And, you know, growing up in Illinois, you know, and coming out here, and I think to myself, you know, we have the ocean, we have the beaches that we can go to, and I think maybe, I don't quote me, but I think I've probably been to the beach twice, and I always laugh to people because I'm like, well, I don't want to go in my blue jeans and my sweatshirt to the beach. How silly is that? And my friends will laugh and say, oh, for God's sakes, just put on a swimming suit and go to the beach. And my statement has always been, whenever you think you're big and whenever you get a cocky attitude and you think you're better than somebody else, or you just think that you're like on top of the world and nothing can break or change that, I always tell people, go to the ocean and look out. Because really, none of us are that big. And it really brings you down to reality when you do go there. So I'm going to start taking time to go and just look out and venture into that, knowing that, you know, I'm only a very small component, but I'm also very large and huge in my empowerment, in my community, in my career, and in myself. So again, whatever that is that you find in your life for yourself, take that time, please, because it really, I mean, I can only stress from my personal experience that I go through each and every day. You know, again, grabbing my cup of coffee and just thinking. Some days I think, why me? Some days I think, what happened? Some days I just take that drink of coffee and I think to myself, thank you, God, for today. Thank you for my blessings. Thank you for my family, for my friends. Thank you for my imperfections. Because I believe that being alive, being in myself, and having this life of living, I truly love life. I truly embrace it. It's not perfect. No one's life is perfect. Anyone that feels that they're living under a rainbow, unfortunately, I feel for them because none of us are perfect. God has created us all imperfect, yet he has created us, and so we are perfect to him. And really, that's all that matters, is to know that and to take that within our lives and to focus, again, I can't stress enough, is to focus on life, to focus on living every day, every moment to the fullest, to be fabulous in that day and in that moment, to put your community as a priority, to be able to love, to be able to have hope, to be able to have faith and treasure that each and every day. How often do we just take the time to thank God for our life, for our career, for our community, for ourself? Some days I just travel down the road and I just thank God for life and living because I know what the alternative is. I came close to almost losing my life. And I know that there is a purpose, and I have a passion, and I have a gift. And for that, I am so grateful to God to be able to know my faith and to know that with faith, there is hope. And with hope, there is a self that we are all acknowledging and recognizing. And again, today I ask, that is one thing I hope you leave here today with, is to being able to spend time with yourself, getting to know who you are, what you are, where you're going in your life, and again, starting with today with 5 minutes with just being with yourself. Taking time to read, taking time to write, taking time to journal, going to the ocean, or whatever your hobby is, find what that is and take time for yourself. Because eventually, life becomes easier and happier every single day when you take time for yourself. And you also have to take time to keep positive in your life, to stay focused on the positive affirmations, the empowerment, and to remove the negativity. We must all remember that we have a lot of negative in our lives. We have negative people surrounded by us every day. We have evil. We have spiritual warfare, as many of us know. And sometimes we just have to be able to release that. We have to be able to be in the moment to say, we're removing negativity. We're removing negative people. We're removing evil. We will not let them win. We will not let them overrule our faith and our belief in God and our life and living. So that is one thing I'm also working on, is sometimes, you know, you have people around you. You don't know whether you can trust them. Surround yourself with positive people. When someone shows you who they truly are, believe them. That has to be one of the oldest things out there. Remember that people will show you their trueness. They will show you who they truly are, whether it's good, bad, evil, doesn't matter. Show who you are and be positive. And even in the worst of the worst times, you can change things around. You can turn things around to have moments, fabulous moments, happy moments. And when someone is wrongdoing or someone is negative, just look at them in the eye or write them or share with them something positive, whether it's a positive quote, whether it's a positive poem, whether it's just a smile or laughter. Just share something and reverse that and let them know. And sometimes this can actually be more negative, because sometimes someone could be evil or wrongdoing to you, and sometimes you can say to them, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. Is there anything that I can do? Some people, they get angrier because they don't want to hear that, because they think that they're not having a bad day. They think they're having a fabulous day. Only to you, you are feeling that there's something wrong. And we never know what could be going on with someone else in their day or their life that has made them angry or negative. So sometimes we have to embrace that. And some of us are here to be able to help them, to forgive them for whatever they've done. And I know forgiveness is not easy, and we must all know that forgiveness is not forgetting. Never will we forget the negativity or the evil. But we can forgive, and we can hope to help them to have some peace and joy and love and kindness in their life. And so if they get upset or angry by you saying to them, I'm sorry you're having a bad day, say, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm just here to help. And if there's anything that I can do, please let me know. And then you can move on with your life and living. Because we all should be positive beings. At least that's what I feel. I feel that every day. And we also must take time. And someone just sent me this, and it reads, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I know most of you know where that comes from, but it's so powerful. And, you know, it was just sent to me yesterday by a dear, dear friend. And, you know, at times we do weep, and sometimes we don't know how can we get through this. You know, one of my oldest things that was told to me also years ago is when it rains, it pours. But I've also always believed that after a good storm, the rainbow comes out and it shines brighter, brighter than ever before. So remember that there are blessings in everything, even the worst of the worst circumstances. You know, to your worst may not be my worst. My worst may not be yours. But in a moment of worst in your life, something good will come out of it. There will be a blessing in disguise. Then you may never, ever know. But another thing that I can stress to all of you is to never quit, never give up. With faith, there is hope. And again, no matter what your faith is, doesn't matter, there's always hope. And to treasure that and to honor your blessings, again, honor yourself. Know where you're at in your life and living, because when you know who you are, no one can break that. And that's not easy. It's not easy finding out who you are and what you love, what your joys are, what you represent. That's not easy at all. But when you do find out who you are and you stand in yourself and in the Lord, there's nobody that can break that. Nobody can take that away from you. No one can be evil. Nobody can be negative in your life. You can endure those moments, and you can get through them walking with the Lord, in my opinion. And that's how I feel each and every day. That's what gets me through. And so I don't know what if anybody's out there that has any questions or anything, but, you know, I sure hope that as you listen to me and as you listen to know that with faith there is hope, and as you listen to me and you think about career and life and living and love, that you'll just take a little bit about what I'm saying and you'll put it into your life. Because faith doesn't get you around trouble, it gets you through it. That is my belief. I know that. I know being alone with yourself will be encouraging and strengthening as you move on into your future. I know, again, that you'll discover if you're an old soul or a young soul, that you'll honor our youngins to take time. Get out and volunteer with the Boys and Girls Club. You know, go out and help with Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. You know, in a life of a parent that is a single mom, I've been a single mom, and my son hasn't had a man in his life. And I do stress that that truly does make a difference. When someone can be in a child's life that comes from a single family, single parent family, or even a mom and a dad in a family, when you take time to deal with our youngins, I'm telling you, I've always stressed that whether you're a community member going and giving back books, whether you're volunteering again at the Boys and Girls or the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, when you're a mentor in someone's life, it can make a difference in a matter of seconds. You know, I've always said a school teacher can make a huge impact in a child's life. And they can do it for the good or the bad. But get out there and make a difference. Share your past as well with your friends. Maybe your friends don't know how you grew up. You may have had challenges in your life. You may have had difficulties. You may have endured greatness. You may have come from a loving, caring, respectful, faithful family, and that could be just a true blessing if you share that with your friends. Maybe they don't know. Maybe you've been traumatized or victimized, or you have endured something just incredible in your childhood that you haven't shared with anybody. Maybe you can be in a moment and share that with yourself and remember that and honor that and somehow dig deep down in your belly to be in that moment of whatever it was, and then maybe you can share it with someone else. Maybe there's a child out there that comes from a wealthy family that thinks they're untouchable and everything is great in their life, and maybe they're getting into trouble. And maybe you can share your past experiences growing up as a child, and maybe they could realize how good they have it in their life. It only takes a minute, it only takes a second to go out with our children and our youth of today to make a difference, one moment, one person, one step at a time. I truly believe that. And, you know, it's kind of funny that I wanted to kind of share this with you because I have a woman in my life that is just an amazing, amazing woman, and she's done such remarkable things in our community. And, you know, she's 84 years old, and I was recently speaking to her, and she has said it to me for many times throughout the last 10 years. And it's interesting because we were just talking about morals and ethics and love and relationships. And she was kind of complimenting me because she was saying, as young as I am and, you know, not dating or involved in a relationship at the time, and she said, you know, you're so different than the women of today, because she said in her time, things were so different. You know, you got married, then you had an intimate relationship, then you had children, you had a family together. And it's quite humorous because... And I don't know exactly how she said it, but she said, many men will not buy a cow if he can get the milk for free. And I know we've all heard of that statement many, many times. And something about it coming from an 84-year-old woman, it was just priceless how she said it to me. And she said, you know, you have to be able to tell men of today that they have to buy the cow because the milk is not free. And I kind of giggled and laughed and said, so are you telling me when I meet a man that I should tell him I'm a cow and the milk is not free? And it was just so funny because she kind of laughed and giggled and she's like, well, I know you're not a cow. But she said, you have to get the message. The message is that you save that for the right person and the right person will stay in your life. So, again, speaking about elders. Go ahead.
Patricia, actually, we have somebody on the phone. It's Star, and she's been listening to your show, and she has a comment for you. But the one thing that I wanted to say, you and I are so much alike, and what I've kind of cornered the phrase that we're undercover nuns waiting for the right Joe. And if the book that I want you to read is God on a Harley, and as soon as you understand what the name Joe is all about, you'll get it. But Star wanted a comment, and she loves your show, and here is Star.
Thanks. Hi, Star.
Hi. I'm from Illinois, too. And a lot of what you said just kind of reminded me of home. My grandparents said youngins all the time, too. But we still carry on a lot of those traditions. We, as far as Christmas and holidays, your thing about whether we carry them on when they pass away, we carry them on because I think that's an honor. It just shows where you come from. And we still do the game night once a week. We play Monopoly. My son always wins, but we play.
That is just great to hear because, you know, I know there are a lot of people out there that still do, but it's interesting because I know a lot that don't, and I hope to hear, and I'm glad to hear that you still do that because I think that that does bring families together, and it does change the dynamic.
Yes, because I think that you need to spend that quality time, you know, when my kids get out of school, I ask them how their day was, and I see that that's a rare thing because a lot of people really don't actually do that anymore. You don't have the conversation time and dinner time. Everybody's got their cell phones. Well, we don't do that. We have dinner together every night at the table at a certain time, and we talk.
Great.
We talk about, but we talk.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't have to really talk about too much as long as you're talking and speaking. That communication is priceless, in my opinion. There's nothing that can replace that.
I know. I think the economy really has affected that because there's so many parents that have to work and they have no choice if they're not home at dinner time and they don't have time to do the game night. But I think it's important that they take that time to do that.
Well, and I definitely agree. And it could be game time. It could be cooking together. It could be crafts and arts. It could be going for an evening walk and just talking. It could be just turning off the TV and sitting in the living room and doing no games or activities and just being in that moment. I truly believe that if we got back to that, I think society, community would be so much better.
I agree, and I hope that my children do that. I mean, we don't turn on, the TV doesn't go on till 8 o'clock at night or, yeah. Till the end of the day, the TV doesn't go on. It's not on all day during the day, even in the summertime. Right now, the TV is not on.
Very good. I'm very, very impressed, and that's great, and it's great to hear from you, and especially being from Illinois, it's always good to hear another person that's from Illinois that, you know, kind of realizes that California is different. It is different living here, growing up here, compared to Illinois. That I will definitely say.
Do they do a lot of traditions there? I'm just curious on if you notice the difference, because here, when I moved here, Thanksgiving isn't important here. But I grew up, and it was, I mean, the holidays were big. They were important. We spent time together, and we didn't watch TV, and we didn't go to our friends. It was this important tradition, and now here I see here people don't even celebrate it half the time.
Well, it is interesting that you bring that up, because for me it is a difference, and I'm not saying everybody, I'm sure a lot of people do, and they have, and again, it's just been myself and my son and now his wife and my two granddaughters, so it is unique and different still now, but I don't know in general, but I do know when I talk to my friends and other people, it was really surprising to me that there was a huge difference. You know, growing up in Illinois and with being surrounded by family and good, bad, or the ugly, I think it was just a different time maybe and a different place. It's still a lot of my friends in Illinois now, they're still doing the same things for the holidays that I did as a child. But out here in California, it is not the same. It is quite, quite different. And I remember the one time somebody had said it was Thanksgiving and they were all going to the beach with their friends. And I was like, well, aren't you going with your family? No, we're not going to go with family. We'll have something to eat and that's it. We're going to go with our friends. And I thought that was strange because my grandmother would have never allowed that.
I know. Yeah, we would have. Yeah.
Yeah,
that would have never happened. I spent Mother's Day away from my mother one year, and I came home, and boy, did I hear it for quite a while from everyone. Guilt trips and everything, because I went to church with my friend. She was a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm a Christian, but I like to go to her church sometimes, too. But I went, and my mom was so sad, because she said I could. And I didn't understand that 13, that saying I could meant that really I could, but she was hoping I would not. And
right.
I didn't quite get that. And I never did that again. But, yeah, I got it when I got home from everyone, and especially my grandma. She's like, don't you understand? Yeah, no, I didn't understand. I was 13.
But that was a good lesson, because your mom probably did the right thing. As hard as it was for her to even let you go, it really probably taught you a better lesson, and you learned and had that experience, and probably now are passing that on to your children so that they know as well. But, yeah, it is a different dynamic, and I remember one of the biggest things that I was shocked is when I first moved here, because growing up in Illinois, if you were making a cake, for instance, or cookies, and you ran out of eggs or oil, and you needed that to finish it, you would go to your neighbors and you would borrow it, and then you would make whatever you're making and make a little bit extra so that you could bring it to the neighbors and give it to them.
Yes.
And when I came out here, one of the first things that was stated to me was, oh, you can't do that. You don't know who your neighbors are. And I'm like, well, so I'm going to introduce myself and ask for an egg. And they're like, no, don't do that. And I'm like, but I'll give them the cookies or the cake when I'm done. And they're like, well, they're not going to eat them because they don't know you. They're going to throw it away.
Yes.
And that was sad to me. So I think that, again, it depends on what city and what area you live, because I do have, you know, friends in different parts of California that say that it is just like Illinois growing up. But I think in general, our times are different. People are different. But also our cultures, our faith is also different in today's time.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Maria.
Actually, bringing that up, Patricia, one of the reasons why I love your show and what we're talking about is really important. One of the things that I've been asking you to do with me for years is to go to Greece with me. And that they do take the time. And it's funny because you know, we're always here and we're always going and we're always getting things done. And usually when I go to Greece, it's always for a purpose of work. And every single time I want to get up and go do something to get the job done, everybody says, Maria, come on, let's go have a coffee. And I go and I sit and I watch them stop from the hours of 3 to 6 every day so they can take this time, Patricia, that you are trying to share with us on how important it is to do. And it's taking the time to just have a coffee. And you guys seem to have learned that in Illinois growing up. But in California, mm-hmm. you're right, Patricia, there are aspects of it here, but not so much. So the question I have for you is, why do you think we don't stop and take the time with the most important people that we claim and we say that we love?
You know, that I would love to do some kind of a, just find out about that and go out and do a survey or ask people, because, you know, in general, I don't think that we are self anymore. I think we've lost our self within our careers, within the time, within so much going on. I think we do. I just recently spoke to a friend, and it's like we almost feel not only ourselves, we feel guilty for taking time for ourselves. It is put on to us by other people. Oh, you take time to do this and that. They make you feel guilty for it, so you don't do it. And, you know, maybe I need to move to Greece, Maria. That would be fantastic. 3 to 6 every day just with myself and my coffee.
But family, too.
They live there. We exist here in this country, and that's one of the things that I realize is that we exist, and that's why this show is so important, because this is just our time to take and just spend this hour just talking with our girlfriends, sharing a cup of coffee with Patricia. So, Patricia, again, thank you so much for choosing Soul Sister Enterprise to use this as your platform. You have 7 minutes before we go on to the next show.
Well, thank you so very much, Maria. And, you know, I thank you for the opportunity. I remember when we first talked and I kept saying, but what am I going to talk about? And who really wants to listen or hear me talk about myself? But, you know, I realize that when I share about my personal self and my experiences and my past, I get such great feedback from other people, whether it be on Facebook or private messages or emails or phone calls or texts, that other people are relating to me and what I'm sharing.
You give us permission. Are you still there, Patricia? You may have left.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you give us permission. When you stop and take the time, and this is one of the reasons why I've been begging you to do this for a long time, because it gives me the excuse to stop, you see? You give mm-hmm. all of us that are on this front line, wow, Patricia's stopping and doing it, and look at all she does. Now I can take the time. So you give us permission, so thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and you know, I'm giving everyone permission to take time for their career, for their faith, for their community, for most importantly, for their self. Take time for yourself. And I have to be honest, for the first time in my life, I am taking time for myself. I am taking time to be in the moments of whatever that moment is and to work through that moment, because I do believe that that's so important. And, you know, I plan on calling some of my family members to ask them to send some of their recipes and some of their moments that they've had in their life. And, you know, I'm going to put together a family book of those kind of things, and I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to call your elders, your grandparents, your parents, your cousins, and even if you haven't talked to them in a long time, you know, send them an email, call them, and just say, you know, maybe they don't even know you. Get their phone number, their email, or Facebook them and say, you know, I'm putting, go ahead, and put together a book of encouragement. Maybe they'll provide you with a quote. Maybe they'll provide you with a recipe. Maybe they'll provide you with something that's happened in the family that you were not even aware of. You know, put together a family book that you can have for yourself that would include your elders, that would include your youngins, old souls, young souls, and that would be a family tradition that you can start amongst yourself that you can then pass on to your children. Because me growing up in Illinois, my son has not been able to meet or know all of our cousins and aunts and uncles and relatives. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to contact them and I'm going to ask them to provide me the information so that I can give it to him and I can pass that on to my son and he can now pass that on to his daughter so that we can keep those family traditions alive and well and moving forward. So I highly encourage you to do the same thing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to spend time with yourself, to really get to know who are you. Who are you? What do you represent? What do you want for today? But ultimately, where do you want to see yourself in 5 years, 10 years? And with hopes and dreams and with faith, I believe anything is possible in life and living. And take the time to reflect. Take the time to be grateful and to pray and to find out who you are, what you are, where you're going to. And, you know, another thing is take time for your friends, your family. Send them an email. Let them know that you do care, that you're there in thought and prayer. And whatever, we always ask people, how are you? Do we really want to know the right answer? Do we want to know the truth, or do we want to know the politically correct answer? People ask me, how are you, Patricia? What do I say? I'm fine. Because do people really want to know how I am in that moment and day? But you know what? I want to know how you are. So send me a message. I'm asking all of you, how are you? And it could be a paragraph, it could be a sentence, it could be a full page. I do care. I do want to know how you are. And I do want to share with you that some days I'm fine, some days I'm fabulous, and there are other days that I'm not okay. And some days that's okay to share with people to let them know I'm human. I have good days, bad days, ugly days, sad days, emotional days. But you know what? I have a moment, and that moment will pass, and I will have a good moment that will come. And I will have faith in the Lord. I will have trust in myself. I will have respect for my friends. I will acknowledge my acquaintances. And I will move on to the next moment, and I will move on to life and living. I will never quit. I will never give up. And I ask that you live with that motto in your life. No matter what you're enduring, never quit, never give up. That is what I want to leave everyone today with, is to write that down someplace and to try to believe that and to live that. Never, ever give up. Never, ever quit. You are blessed with life and living. You are full of life. You have been given a gift, a passion, and a purpose. Go out today, discover it, find it, and be empowered in your life, in this moment, from now on, moving forward, because you are a true gift and blessing from the one above, the master that has created us all. So have hope, have faith. Find yourself, live your career, live your life, and never, ever give up. Never, ever quit. That is what I leave you with today.
Thank you, and we will see you next week on Coffee Talk with Patricia. Stay tuned for Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walton. We will see you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, the anointing of mercy from the heart of a parish nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to my Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Whoever believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. This wasn't lip service. Jesus was talking to you. Learn how to claim your God-given dominion to follow the Master's example and restore health, demonstrate supply, harmonize relationships, have victory over sin, healing through prayer, spiritual solutions to life's challenges.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
Have some tea.
Soul Sister Radio.
Whoever believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. This wasn't lip service. Jesus was talking to you. Learn how to claim your God-given dominion to follow the Master's example and restore health, demonstrate supply, harmonize relationships, have victory over sin, healing through prayer, spiritual solutions to life's challenges.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you back to Soul Sister Radio and Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson. Corrine, take it away.
Hi, thanks, Maria. Thank you very much, and happy Friday to all of you. Welcome to Healing Through Prayer. I had intended to speak about mental illness, but something had happened in the beginning of the week, and I just chose to journal about it because it was such a strong lesson for me, and as I journaled about it, it became a lesson. And at first I was kind of hesitant to share because it's real personal, but it needed to be shared. So it happened, Maria, when did we meet together as a group? It was that night, but at any rate, I had a moment of such clarity and realization in the evening times that I was pretty much left in a heap of tears. They were good tears and bitter ones. And it all came about, I was laying there in bed and I couldn't sleep. And then distinctively this thought came to me that just said, you know, Corrine, if you don't learn to love yourself, you're going to die. And this thought startled me because I knew it wasn't a thought that I'd really ever entertained before or a thought that had ever come to me. But because I know the truth about how I feel about myself, and the truth that I know that our beliefs create my experience, this thought shook me. You know, it made me sit up. And I knew in that moment that the answer to all my inner suffering was to really learn to love myself. You know, I'm really good at loving everybody else. I can see the child of God in people fairly easily, even ones that are kind of difficult to love, but never in myself. I just never have. And I've known this about me, but I've kind of just ignored it. I've pushed it away and down. And as this idea came to me, it was like this full snapshot of my whole life came into focus. And I can't really explain it to you. It's just that I knew, it's like a knowing instead of a timeline of events. How this affects every part of my life came into focus very clearly. And I could see how this inability to love myself has been manifesting itself in every area. It was kind of like this veil was lifted, showing me that everything I do is infected by this false belief. And I could start seeing from a very young age, the love that I so craved for my parents only came when I had done something for one of them. Like, I remember cleaning the house for my mom, and I must have been in, I don't know, like the third grade, and she was bragging to a neighbor about how her daughter had cleaned the house, and I'd overheard her, and I just beamed, you know, mom's proud of me. Or I remember my dad was looking for his favorite cross pen, and I had gone into the closet and went through his shirts and found the pen and delivered it to him, and he was so happy. He gave me a hug and told me that he loved me. Okay, light bulb. And it's strange to me, I don't remember much of my childhood, but I clearly remember moments like those. I wasn't told, you know, Corrine, you're lovable, you're worthy, you're good just because you are. And so these memories brought more tears. I just kind of sat there and bawled. I saw a 7-year-old self, and I felt so bad and so sorry for her. She was sensitive and so badly wanted to be loved and noticed. And she was kind, had a huge heart, simply wanted to be included with the other kids. And I could see how this belief that I'm not lovable carried on into my younger teenage years. And by that time, I'd formed like this cocoon around myself. I had this hardened exterior. And I totally get why I did it. I mean, it was there to serve to rebuff anybody that would actually try to love me, because, you know, that just confirmed the belief I had about myself and allowed me to send this message out to the world that I had it all together. I really wasn't hurting. It was under control. I don't need you or anything. I understood clearly why I would lay in bed at night in high school. I would just cry myself to sleep. If somebody had asked, you know, what's the matter, I honestly wouldn't be able to tell them what was wrong. I just cried. And the harder the exterior that I created, the more judgment and disapproving looks that I received from the world and those closest around me, and of course that just continued this destructive cycle. I recall not trying very hard at anything because I didn't believe in myself. And I saw how this belief that I'm not worthy of love kind of just permeated everything, and how my human experience mirrored back to me this belief. The guys I went out with, man, I was never treated like I had value or that I was special. But they were just mirroring back to me the beliefs I already held about myself. So this awful lie of being unlovable, and it went into my finances. As I grew older, I used to spend money I didn't have simply to try and make myself feel better. I was always trying to climb out of debt. And then I'd self-sabotage and I'd drive myself back into debt over and over again. I cried more tears when I saw how much negative self-talk I give to myself. I mean, I am my own worst enemy. If somebody compliments me now, I immediately reject it. It never even reaches me. I'll either verbally discount it, you know, nah, or physically shake my head in rejection of the idea that I might be good. If I look in the mirror, all I find is fault. If somebody says I'm beautiful, instead of accepting the compliment, I don't trust them because obviously there's something wrong with their judgment. From another's perspective, you know, I can objectively see I'm tall, blonde, thin. People tell me I'm attractive, but it means nothing. If you compare the outer picture to what I feel like inside, they are worlds apart. Nobody would believe me if I could show them how I truly see myself. You know, and I see this in some of my closest friends. I have some really incredible, beautiful, talented, thoughtful women friends. And, you know, I'll give them a genuine compliment, and I watch it, and it just bounces right off of them. They can't accept it either. They change the subject, or they minimize the compliment by admitting to some fault of theirs. You know, I point out something good, and they're quick to point out something bad. It's so sad. And it all stems from this underlying message. You are not lovable. Nobody loves you. Nobody could possibly love you. And I saw, like an outsider looking in, all of the injustice of it. These lies robbed me of a happy childhood. They robbed me of the potential that I could have experienced over the last 43 years. I mean, the most painful question that I could ask is, what would my life be like now if I'd been told that I was worthy as a child, or lovable, or heck, beautiful? I know I would have made better choices for myself. My mates would have mirrored back to me the self-worth I would have had. I would have developed healthy boundaries, said no when I needed to. I wouldn't have lived all these years with negative self-talk that's tarred and feathered my self-worth. And so I was tempted for a second with emotions about indignation and anger and resentment against those who could have or should have built me up when I was younger. But I've already crossed that bridge. I know that we cannot give what we don't have. And they simply didn't have it to give because they never got it themselves. I see how this is a generational attack by Mortal Mind. One of the serpent's favorite stories is this belief that we're not worth loving, that we don't have anything to offer, no talent, nothing special there about ourselves. And of course, we believe it. Why wouldn't we? These caretakers and people in authority, the ones that are supposed to love us, that tell us these things. And once we believe it, that human experience will mirror it right back to us. And it just confirms you're not worthy. It's true. You will continue to encounter other people who will just simply confirm that belief about yourself. It's going to follow you around in every aspect of your life, whether it's your job, the person you choose as a spouse or partner, your children, where and how you live. I mean, it's crazy once you recognize it. I just laid there at night marveling at all of it, you know, and I just saw it so clearly. And my husband heard me crying. And he says, you know, are you all right? And I just started pouring my heart out, how I saw it so vividly, the pieces kind of just fit together. My childhood, the false beliefs, the pain growing up, the not knowing why I was in so much pain, the cold, tough exterior. And then I apologized because I also saw that everything that he says and does, regardless of his motive or true intent, it comes to me, but it first has to pass through this enormous filter of all the ways that I don't like myself or feel unlovable. Everything he says is filtered through this junk. And I take in whatever he says with this imprint on it. It was incredible revelation to me. I totally understand now why if I call him and he doesn't answer his cell phone, I interpret it immediately as he hears it, he just doesn't want to answer, or who's he talking to instead of me? And when he compliments me, I can immediately just suspect something's up. I wonder what he wants or what he's up to. I see how I can turn anything and everything into a negative so that it confirms how I feel about myself. This is true for others in my life. I can turn anything around into a negative. I'm pro at it now. I just think, what a mess. How sad and what a ripoff. You know, I've never been able to ask for the amount of money I believe I deserve in my line of work because underneath, I don't believe I deserve it. And guess what? My employers aren't going to convince me to accept more money. If I don't believe I'm worth more, they're certainly not going to either. And I recognize something else that I do. I buy gifts and I spend money to try and earn love since I'm so convinced that I'm not lovable. I'll pick up that tab at a restaurant every time, even when I can't afford it. I'm going to buy extravagant gifts when I've got no business doing that. So from the outside, it appears that I'm a very generous person, but on the inside, I'm trying to buy love, buy friendship, buy admiration, because I don't believe I can get those simply by being me. And this was so huge. And then I started to feel guilty for all these things that I've just admitted. But on the heels of this thought came the instruction that I must forgive myself. If I knew better, I would do better. If I had believed I was lovable, I wouldn't have self-sabotaged. And not only should I forgive myself, but, you know, I need to congratulate myself on how well I came through it all, in spite of these beliefs. From the outside looking in, I got it together. You know, I'm somewhat attractive. I'm a successful attorney who lives in a nice part of Orange County. I drive a nice car, have nice clothes. I'm generous and a good friend. I've got a great relationship with my daughter. You know, I was able to create this while hating myself. Bravo, Corrine. You were brave and strong and accomplished and took care of business, even with this huge burden inside of you. It's nothing short of a miracle that I was able to get through law school and raise a daughter as a single parent at age 20. So in that moment, I went from being hard on myself to admiration for what I've been able to accomplish with one arm tied behind my back. Going back to that filter that I mentioned before, at my core, I can rationalize and logically reason. You know, I am the child of God. My true substance is love. And I love to help others. I mean, I love to love. And I could see visually this loving thought or loving motive inside of me springing forth from a good motive, from the center of my being. But then before it even gets to its object, it passes through the self-hatred filter and it becomes distorted. I might not say something as directly and honestly for fear of coming off as arrogant or too assertive. I sometimes play small because I hear, who do you think you are? And vice versa, when someone sends me love with a friendly gesture or smile or encouragement or pays me a compliment, it comes toward me, but again, it passes through this gross filter, and by the time it reaches me, it's distorted. I assign a negative motive to someone that simply isn't there. I become fearful about things that don't exist. I assume things that are against me for no other reason than I believe I am unworthy and unlovable. And I made this connection that if I could remove this filter of negativity and self-hatred, that everything good would open up to me, that this was my personal key to experiencing the life God wants for me. I mean, it's going to unlock the kingdom of heaven inside me. I will be able and more free to give love honestly and openly because I wouldn't be afraid to love anymore, love myself. Once you get past the lies of unworthiness, once you love yourself and you know that you are worthy, you're not afraid to love because even if it doesn't come back to you, you're not devastated by that. I learned that the amount of pain you feel in a breakup or divorce is directly proportionate to the lack of love you feel for yourself. We use others to prove to ourselves that we're lovable. And so when they pull back or away, it's like a nuclear bomb to your ego. It feels like you're annihilated. But when you have self-love, a breakup is sad, but it doesn't throw you into a tailspin because the other person doesn't define you and your self-worth. And another lesson that came to me was how we all know someone who's drama, who becomes offended by the littlest thing, and I get why they do it now. If you have zero self-love, you only have the world's messages to go by. I mean, you've got nothing inside of you stored up, backed by those who are closest to you, or based on first-hand experience with which to defend yourself against a mean statement or unkind act. You base your very existence and self-worth on what happens to you or what somebody else says or does. So, of course, an unkind or critical comment is going to throw you off balance and into turmoil. So when we see this in another, we don't have to allow it to disrupt our peace or recoil from that person because we can see it for what it is. It's a huge cry for love. They have none for themselves. And we all know somebody who's tough and distant, those who tell you that they don't need anybody or anything. That's simply another tactic that one uses when they're completely empty of self-love. When we posture and attack or defend ourselves, what we're really doing is attempting to hide the truth. We don't love ourselves. When we argue with spouses or and point and blame, I saw that we are really saying, would you please love me? But we can't come out and say that. What if they reject us? Who's supposed to love us unconditionally for the rest of our lives? How risky would that be? Treats us unkindly or isn't our or lies about us. We first pretend we don't care, then we turn on them and we find fault with them. In reality, there's a little boy or girl inside of us saying, "Why don't you love me?" All fear and hate is a call for love. This is so important to understand, and it's why it's critical for us to respond to fear and hate with love, because it's the only power that will heal it. All fear and hate is a call for love. So from seeing all of this, wow, I understood that seeking and looking for love outside of ourselves is not the answer, because to some extent, we all have holes where love should be. We can't give what we don't have. Those we look to for love and to make us feel complete, they don't have it within themselves to give us. if we don't love ourselves first, the love we give to others is not authentic because our love is conditional. We love to get love. We perform in order to get love. We give things to others to get love. We excel in school or in our jobs to ultimately get love. There's an agenda behind everything because we're all busy trying to fill up these voids. We're too busy focusing on others to get what we so desperately need. And we never get it because they don't have it for themselves, let alone enough to give you to make you whole. I've tried to get authentic love from my boyfriends and husbands and look to them to be the source of my happiness and who I am. But let me tell you, this is disastrous. They didn't have it to give. And I attracted those who don't have it to give because my belief that I am not lovable only attracts those who will confirm, yep, you're not lovable. My beliefs are constructing my experience. Your beliefs construct your experience. What I share with you each week is the truth, and I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't. I need to take my own instruction. I've accepted a serpent thought, a false belief that says I'm not lovable. And it's been operating in my consciousness for so long now that I wasn't truly aware of it and the extent that it has controlled my life up until this week. I believed it was just me, and this is just how it is. But that's how the serpent operates. It comes to us as our own thinking and burrows down deep. So this belief, I am not lovable, was accepted by me as a child, and I took it, and I believed it, and it has created a lot of pain in my life. And I only saw this clearly for the first time the other night. And I need to share with you that last weekend, I met and spent some time with a group of really wonderful women. They're the other hosts for the shows on Soul Sister Radio. And you know that filter I was talking about? Well, I was really impressed with these women and their accomplishments and what they've overcome. So what did I do? I told myself I don't belong in their company. And I wondered if I would ever have or achieve what they have. On my drive home, I spoke to God and just said, God, if you want me to continue to do these shows and help others, you need to heal this feeling of self-doubt and insecurity. I asked him to show me how to do this. I said, you know, you better be very deliberate and clear with me because I'm really feeling a lot of doubt. And it was that night, that's when I had this major breakthrough. God not only showed me the lies I've accepted and how they've played out in my experience, but he also walked me through the importance of self-forgiveness. I came through it with a lot of tears, but I woke up feeling uplifted instead of drained. I was excited with anticipation of how much better my life is going to be as I shed this false claim of unworthiness. I thought of it like a car, you know. I've been operating on just a couple cylinders, but, man, I get self-love going, and I'm going to be operating on all of them. I'm just imagining what I might accomplish through God, with God. So now I'm teaching myself on this as well as you. I know that truth destroys false beliefs. So what's the truth about me and you? Are we lovable? Are we worthy? Or are we just hopeless sinners bound to be tossed around on the waves of fear and doubt? We already know from discussions past that God made us in his image and likeness. He saw the entirety of his creation, which includes you and me, and it's very good. And we also know that God is love, that we as his children are loved by God because that's what God is. That's what God does. He imparts his love. And he loves where he is. He knows us. He cherishes us. And the awesome thing about his love is that it's perfect. I mean, we don't have to earn it. His love isn't performance-based. He does not withhold his love from one and give it to another. He loves all creation, every part of it. All that he created is perfect and complete. And since he fills all space, there isn't a special compartment where some of his love is lost away. He loves us. He thinks about us. He is for us. God is our mother and father. God is tender and compassionate and is most near to us in our darkest moments. God is also strong and powerful, a very present help in trouble. He delivers us. He hears us. He speaks to us, and he protects us. He gives us infinite gifts. Every sunrise, sunset, every flower, tree, every laugh, every child, every cloud, rainbow, every beautiful song, all your supply, your family and friends who are your teachers along the way, your very life is a gift. Those moments of clarity where we learn these valuable lessons, thank God he doesn't let us go on in the dark, victims of false beliefs. You know, I asked, he answered. Thank you, Father, Mother, God. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for holding my hand and protecting me. All my heart is awful. My beliefs about myself. Thank you for turning the light of truth on and showing me in such a safe, beautiful way and teaching me through it the importance of self-love and forgiveness. This perfect child of God, the real you and the real me, is easy to love. The spiritual child of spirits creating is only pure, holy, and perfect. And it is so wonderful knowing that this is the real you. It's the blissful, joyful babe who knows only love and expects to receive only love in return. It's the unsoiled, unstained, unfiltered you. Now, before that night, if someone had said to me these truths, the belief that I am not lovable would have fought hard. I would have dismissed it as not applicable to me, or it would have simply bounced off of me. And the reason for that is because I would have mentally compiled a list of evidence that proves that I'm not perfect, holy, pure, and lovable. You know, I'm a lawyer. I can make an excellent case against myself. This evidence of former bad self-sabotaging acts were conducted while I was hypnotized and mesmerized by a false claim of unworthiness. I was acting out from a false premise. I was performing long mathematical equations, all the while believing 2 and 2 is 5. My entire experience was tainted by false beliefs and was not reflecting the truth of who I am. So this truth, that we really are the image and likeness of God, his beloved and cherished offspring, is what heals us and destroys the false beliefs we've accepted in the past. As we understand and apply these truths, the false beliefs we've taken in are exposed and rejected from our thinking and consequently our experience. The key about God, and then understand that what is true about God is also true about you. The more you know about God, the more you know about the real you. The answer isn't found in positive affirmations or simply trying to think happy thoughts, although I guess it couldn't hurt, but understanding that because you reflect God, you are he is. And as we incorporate this new understanding of who and what we are is love itself, then you can expect your entire experience to shift in alignment with this truth. The people you will encounter will mirror back to you love and self-worth. You will attract abundance because you know that you are worth it and deserving of it. You will see new opportunities arising that's going to allow you to use gifts and talents that God gave you. How exciting. I think it happens in my life next. It's pretty humbling. It can only be good because I'm shifting out of fear into self-acceptance, self-love. And you can too. I want to thank all of you for providing me with this platform in which to bear this very honest and intimate experience I had. You know, I almost didn't do it because I had fear of being judged or condemned. there are those very close to me that I've never shared any of this with in an effort to cover up my deepest feelings and emotions, but I chose to use my life this morning as an example in the real hopes that what I've said resonated with some of you. Maybe you saw yourself in what I shared. Perhaps you self-sabotaged due to faults you picked up along the way. Are you defensive and judgmental, or do you hurt yourself? Do you not worth anything? These are just calls for love. Please don't get trapped outside yourself, love, because you have to look for it in God. God is love, is the creator, source of all real love. You can find all that you need in Him. Just ask Him. I mean, humbly ask Him to show you. He'll do it. And I can say, with new understanding, everyone, much to you. Amen. Until next Friday, I just love each and every one of you. I wish you a joyful, blessed week. Bye now.
Show is hot out here. No, I don't mind though. I'm glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.